is a memorial show. Bill and I did. We stayed up that night on that awful weekend and got that on the air. Just so that you can introduce yourself on tape, would you introduce yourself?
This is Ted Sorensen, special counsel to the president.
And what would you describe your function with President Kennedy?
I have been with President Kennedy since he came to the United States Senate in January of 1953. In the White House, I have assisted him in the preparation and presentation of his program and policy with emphasis on his domestic policy.
Introduce yourself again.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now, this is Ted Sorensen, special counsel to the president. I first came with President Kennedy when he was elected to the United States Senate, beginning his term in January of 1953. In the White House, my chief function was to assist him in the preparation and presentation of his program and policy with emphasis on domestic affairs.
Can you tell us, in your book, you quoted Wilson saying the president is more responsible to Darwin than Newton. And in a government of men, what kind of a man was he? Can you tell us a little about him personally?
The single outstanding quality he had as president, perhaps, was his ability to remain himself at all times, whether it was a moment of great triumph or a moment of tragedy. He remained calm, objective, easily approachable. At times of success, he knew that a darker moment would come again. At times when things looked most dark, he knew it would not be long before there was light.
How did he view the office of the presidency?
As a politician, he viewed it as the prime opportunity to make a contribution to his country and world. As a student of government, he viewed it as the center of power in the federal system and to some extent the free world. As a leader of men, he viewed it as an instrument for bringing together the various interest groups in this country, the various nations in the alliance, the various men in his cabinet and Congress, in order to move the country and the world closer to the goals in which he believed.
Did he change much? Did the office affect him much in the 2.5 years?
He changed surprisingly little. His view of world and national affairs changed in a sense, because the view from his office is very different from the view anywhere else in Washington. He became perhaps more sober and serious as the burdens of the office weighed upon him, but he never lost his basic sense of humor and his ability to laugh at himself and to take the world seriously but not take himself too seriously.
How did a man with the great humanity he projected, how did he handle decisions in a nuclear age with what was at stake? Was he aware? He must have been, but how, did he show his awareness of the terrible stakes, particularly with Cuba?
He did. He was not showing it by means of panic or fear or trembling, but he was cautious and he was aware of the enormous stakes involved for this country, for the future of mankind, and he could personalize that in terms of his own children as well as the children of all the world.
He felt very strongly about children, didn't he?
Very strongly, yes.
Did you see him with his children?
Oh yes, often. That was his chief source of delight. He often would interrupt a busy day or a very harrowing moment in order to take time out to talk or play with his children.
Did he, the loneliness of the ultimate decision was a phrase you used in your book. Did this affect him after all the conferences were over? Would you know what his decision would be, or was it truly a lonely task that he had to face?
He made decisions alone by himself often, but the loneliness of presidential decisions does not refer to the number of people who are in the room when the decision is made. It refers to the fact that truly only the president can make a major decision. And no matter how many advisors he has in the room or out of the room, only he can make that final decision, and in that sense, it's a very lonely process, no matter how crowded the environment may be.
Did he ever speak to you about that?
No, it wasn't necessary.
Did you see him every day?
Practically every day, sometimes many times a day, sometimes very little, depending upon the nature of his work during that day.
Is there any... Could you describe a typical meeting you might have had with him?
Well, there's no pattern, there's no average. I would sometimes see him as a part of regularly scheduled conferences or formal meetings. I would sometimes drop in on him at the end of the day and simply discuss in the most casual way decisions which had come before him. There may be emergency calls in which I would be summoned to his office. There were all kinds of occasions.
Was there any particular quality that you were aware of when you were in his presence that dominated?
It was the quality of greatness. He was an unusual man, and he had an extraordinary air about him which ordinary men did not have, which affected his appearance and his voice and what he had to say and how he thought, and obviously affected those who were in his presence.
Is there any particular scene by which you'd like to remember him? Or is there anything that comes to mind when you think of him?
Well, there are many, and in order not to dwell on the unhappy memories of the last time I saw him, I would probably prefer to think in terms of the others, but having been with him for 11 years, I couldn't single out one.
You were with him on the Caroline, weren't you, when the inaugural speech was being written?
Well, when part of the inaugural speech was being written, actually, he worked on it over a long period of time.
Again, in your book, you mentioned, I think Attlee quoting, saying about Churchill, in times of decision, words can be, great words can be deeds. Could you comment on that regarding President Kennedy?
Well, that's a quotation doesn't appear in my book. I'm not familiar with it.
Well,
but in any event, obviously, great words can be deeds, and President Kennedy was an eloquent man. Not because of the rhetorical splendor of his words, but because of the substance and significance of his words, so that his call for a new look at peace and the Cold War, for example, which he delivered at American University, is believed to have had a direct impact on the subsequent successful negotiations for a test ban treaty. He had other great speeches to the United Nations, to the Congress, and to the American people, which had considerable impact.
Is there any particular moment which could stand out as the happiest moment?
There are several. One, of course, was the news that Mr. Khrushchev was withdrawing the missiles from Cuba, and the world had stepped back from the brink of war. Another was the definite word that the limited test ban treaty had been concluded. Another was the day he spent in West Berlin, which was one of the most gratifying days of his life. And another, of course, was the day of his inauguration, which was the climax of a very long and difficult struggle, which most people thought when he started would never succeed.
Were you with him in Berlin?
I was, yes.
Could you describe it a little bit, the feeling?
From the moment we left the plane that morning to the moment we entered the plane late that afternoon, there was the most intense atmosphere of excitement and joy on the part of the people of West Berlin. All of them turned out at some place along the president's route. In their eyes, in their voices, in their smiles and waves, they showed great love and respect for him and for the United States. They showed that they had new hope and determination as a result of what he had helped make possible. And it was a wonderful welcome, which I know overwhelmed him.
Did he express this?
He did, yes. He said that he thought he would never have a day like that again as long as he lived. And of course, it turned out he did not live very long, but had he lived 50 more years, I think his prophecy probably would have been correct.
Just a couple more questions. What was the toughest time, Cuba?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little about that?
We simply thought on more than one occasion during that two-week period that we stood on the brink of a nuclear war. We could not be certain what the Soviet response would be to the actions taken by the president. There were times when it looked as though it would be a violent response, in which case he was determined to go ahead, come what may.
How do you think history will judge the contributions he made in the short time he was in office? What might be the greatest contribution?
In a general sense, his greatest contribution was that he was the author of a new birth of hope in this country and in this world. People had more hope in the prospects of peace. They had more faith in their fellow man as a result of his urgings on civil rights. They had more hope that the United States would live up to its own greatness and destiny. And he, as I say, was the founder of that hope, and his efforts toward peace, his leadership in the Cuban crisis, which marked a turning point in the Cold War, his success in obtaining a limited test ban treaty, his leadership on the question of human rights and economic opportunity in this country, his activities in launching 100 different new initiatives and efforts by the United States, whether it was the Alliance for Progress, or trade expansion, or new domestic programs of housing and employment and education and help for the mentally ill, whether it was the Peace Corps in other lands, or improving the resources of our own land, and all these in other ways. He was a leader. He, as he said in the campaign, he got this country moving again. That's what he set out to do.
What are your own plans now? Would you tell us a little about them?
Well, I'm leaving the White House to write a book about President Kennedy. I have no plans after that.
Is this a book that you'd once planned to write together at all?
Well, I think he planned to write it, and I may have assisted him on it. But it's one which I feel I can do and should write, though it will not be as good as the one he would have written.
Good. Thanks very much. Bill, is there anything?
No, I think
you
covered
very well. Yeah, many things.
I'd just like to ask you, Mr. Sorensen, if you could suggest any of the group that were close to him.
Thank you.
Another angle to the president's personality.
I think you ought to talk to Mr. Bundy.